Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15 in the Red Pew Bible. This is page 1146. Page 1146, John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. This is part of the final discourse that Jesus is giving to his disciples. He's getting ready to depart from them. So this is the final week of his time before the resurrection. And so they're sad, and so he's encouraging them and giving them words, a final kind of words, final marching orders. And so he's impressing upon them the importance of two things. One is the Holy Spirit is going to be sent to be with them, but also the importance of obeying his commands. So let's listen to Jesus' words to his disciples. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I just want to say, if we can see in the text here, the importance of obedience. I had a really great sermon on these readings. I've been prayed about it and worked on it all week. And finally last night, the Lord said, no, that's not it. And as I've shared before, when you try to argue with God, it's kind of a losing battle. But Lord, I spent time on this. I mean, it's really a great teaching, Lord. And he's like, no, that's not it. So in a sense, it's what we call overtaken by events. And so I do feel I need to address some other things that just seem to be more striking, I know, on many of our hearts, which is the hurricane and storms that have been brewing. When that hurricane was raging in Texas, I think we were all lifting people up in Texas and praying, and the flooding was having was just devastating. Somehow this is different. It's different when it's closer to home, isn't it? We have relatives in Florida. I know many of us came from Florida, still have family and friends down there. And so it's a little bit closer to home when we know people specifically who are in danger of this storm that's raging. And so I need to address a couple things, I think, about that, not only because of that, but something else that happened to me this week that just kind of overtakes this, you know, what I thought, which is why we don't have a sermon outline, is because the Lord had said, no, I want you to tell them this. And so two messages really that I have for us this morning, I believe, from God. One is that in the midst of this storm that's raging, we just had this other hurricane. There was just a tremendous earthquake down in Mexico. I understand just this morning there was another earthquake in Utah. There's lots of fires. We don't hear about this, but fires raging up evidently in Montana. And so it just seems like this devastation is all around. And particularly, as I said, when we have loved ones in the midst of this and in the path of this dangerous storm, it certainly does cut home to us and becomes very, very real. And our response to that can be one of, first of all, fear, because we hear things on television, people saying, oh, this is the judgment that's coming upon our nation. I even heard some celebrities saying, you know, because Texas voted for Trump, that's why Texas was... So it's amazing, but it's not just them, it's religious leaders who are also bringing this and saying our nation is coming under judgment of God. Now, that may very well be true. I do believe a time of judgment is coming, and this could be it, because of the ungodliness of our nation. Lots of many, many good things are happening. We saw some wonderful stories in Texas of people helping one another. How wonderful that was. But yet we are still basically farther and farther from God, particularly in the terms of how we're treating innocent life, the taking of innocent life. That alone is such a big issue that brings judgment upon not only our nation, but upon the world. And so I believe, I'm like, yes, okay, I understand. Time of judgment. Is this it? I don't know. But there's such a tremendous anxiety and fear that can be built up by people when they hear these stories and wonder, oh my goodness, is this the coming? You know, is this it? And my response, my message first, is that we should not be fearful of this kind of talk. I can find it very interesting, engage in conversations, that's great. But if we're worried about possibly Jesus coming, the end of the world, we need to understand that for us individually, the end could come on any day, right? Every day is a gift. And so, oh my goodness, Jesus might be coming, it might be in there. Well, you know, it could be this very day is time for me to cross over. And it's not just for crossing over, I like to use that terminology, graduating, some of us say, but also a time of tribulation. Oh my goodness, there's hard times coming upon us in the world. Well, again, we have some people who are already living in the midst of a personal tribulation right now. And who of us knows what report we're going to get tomorrow or next week? All of a sudden, oh my, sorry to tell you, sir, but your test came back positive. We're not that far removed from that ourselves. Every day is a gift. Every day is new. So we never know. And just to point out something that people already know, our dear brother, Terry Doan, just as I said, going through this hard time with his bone marrow transplant. This disease that came upon him was just a year ago. And Terry's in his 70s, I guess, maybe early 70s. I'm not good on ages, but he said he's been healthy all his life, up until the last year or two. All of a sudden, this hit him, and boy, it has really wreaked havoc on his physical health. So we never know. We never know. So whether it's our own death or crossing over or it's just a time of tribulation, we hear these stories out there. Yes, it's interesting to talk about. But the fact is, it should not be fearful for us, because we need to be living each and every day as though Jesus is coming for me today. And if we're not in that place, my prayer is that, you know, talk to me, but we need to be in that place every day. This may be the last day for me on this earth. And if so, hallelujah, I'm ready for my reward. And so whatever happens in the world, you know, yes, it's interesting, but let's not be fearful, because that makes us a really bad witness. When the rest of the world is falling apart, when the rest of the world has anxiety and all that, when we are in the calm of that, it is our greatest witness to say, how can you people be so calm? Say, well, we have a Savior, and He told us that this stuff was going to happen. And so we're not fearful. We live one day at a time, knowing each and every day could be a time that the Lord comes back for us. So that's the first message that I offer to you this morning. The second has to do with the same thing about these things happening. As far as them being signs of a tribulation or of a coming of Christ, of end times, whatever we might think, the fact the Bible talks about signs, it says we're not going to know the day or the hour of Christ's return, but we will know the season. And they kind of chastise the disciples, says, don't you know the signs of the times? So I think the very same thing applies to us today, to know the signs of the times, even though we would not know the day or the hour. And so we look for the signs. We look for the signs. In fact, we're told You know, we had a number of interesting things last year. We had four blood moons. It was very falling on Jewish feast days. It was very, very rare, almost unprecedented. We've had this solar eclipse crisscross the United States in 7 years. Whenever I hear 7 years, you know, it kind of perks up your mind. 7 years, there's going to be another solar eclipse that's going to kind of make an X across the United States. It's like, well, that's pretty impressive, pretty concerning. We're told that there will be these signs. In fact, if we go back to Genesis 1, when God created the lights, he said, "Let there be lights." And he gave four reasons why he was creating the lights. Is the lights to rule the day and the night, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And there are four reasons. Okay, the four reasons is for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. So there's four reasons why. Notice, what is the first reason that's mentioned? Signs in the heavens. Now let me just put a little plug in here, is that when people get into astrology, it's very dangerous. Our lives are not ruled by the heavens, okay? That's the difference. People look at that and they think, I have to be under the right sign and I have to do the right thing. We start to put our faith in the heavenly signs. And that is forbidden by the scriptures. But we're told the opposite, is that there will be signs for us in the heavenlies that we're to pay attention to and will tell us the seasons of things that are coming. And so we've seen things in the heavens, and now we're seeing earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and hurricanes and so forth. And so we're seeing these things happen. And I believe that they are signs for us. But I believe we also will receive individual signs, each and every one of us, if we're looking for them. If we're looking for them. Did you all notice this box up here, by the way? For those that are visitors, we don't normally have this toolbox just sitting up here. So something happened to me this week that I was going to kind of just, you know, it was very interesting, but I shared it with a few people, and they're like, you know, that something like that's happened to me. And I'm starting to realize the significance, potentially, of what I experienced. And so I want to share it with you. It began actually more than a week ago. We have a two-car garage, and both garage doors have garage door openers. And so the one for Debbie's side, my side's fine, but on Debbie's side, about a week ago, it broke. They're 20 years old. We've moved in the house. We've been in the house 20 years, by the way. It's hard to believe how fast, but 20 years ago they were installed. And actually, it's a little bit more significant. When we moved into the house, these were installed by our son, Patrick. Those that do not know us, Patrick is our son who just 3 years ago crossed over at the age of 37. And so that's been very near and dear. So here I'm replacing something that my son installed 20 years ago. And so we're in the process of taking this down and replacing this garage door opener that, you know, you press the button, right? The garage door goes up. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, you press it and it goes down. So I'm in the process of replacing that, and I've got the thing together. And now we need to take down the old one. And so we're going to take it down. And I know specifically that I had these wire cutters because it's wired for the lights and the switch and so forth. So we're trying to take this old one down. The wires are catching on. I had to get the wire snips and actually cut these wires to take this old unit down, the one that's not working. So I know I had these wire cutters. So then I get it ready. I'm getting ready to install the new one. I've got it up. It's in place. Now I need to wire the new one. And so I need to cut the wire to the proper length to tie it into the machine, the motor. And I'm looking around, and I can't find these wire cutters, the snips. And so I'm looking around the garage, and I know they're here because I had to have them in order to disconnect the old unit. So I know they're here, and I'm looking around, and you know how you find something you're not sure? And I had my tools sitting on this very box. And I'm even looking, you know, sometimes you look at something, you can't see it. And so I'm actually touching them, and I'm like, you know, I know they're here because I used them. And I couldn't find them. So I'm like, okay, fine. I've got an old pair. So I go down to the garage, and I've got this old pair. That's fine. I bring this up, and I use that, and I put it with the rest of my tools. So I go about installing this new unit, finishing up the wiring. About 15 minutes later, I turn around. These are the wire cutters I was looking for, and they're laying right there. You know, sometimes this happens, like, am I crazy? I just overlooked it. If I was not so sure that I had looked at this, I had touched them. You see how visible it is against the white. I know that those wire cutters were not there. I turn around 15 minutes later, and all of a sudden, there they are. I share this with some other people, and they're like, yeah, that's happened to me. I thought I was crazy, or I just, you know, dismissed it and said, oh, let's... If this wasn't so definite and so sure, I would not be sharing it with you. But I'm absolutely sure. I asked Debbie, I said, did you sneak in and find those? No, she said, remember, I wasn't even home. She wasn't even home. They were not there, and then they were there. And so, again, the added, you know, dimension, again, this is a unit that was installed by our son. And I'm like, Patrick, you know, you messing with me here? By the way, I believe that. I believe there is interaction. We're not, again, to seek it. The Bible forbids that. We're not to seek contact, but I believe there's this thin space. And we will hear the voice. So people have shared that. Yeah, I hear the voice of those who have gone on before me. And so I do believe there's that interaction. Again, we do not pursue it, but we're thankful those moments, and we just receive it. But more than that, I felt this is a sign. Because the scripture, yeah, that's the thing, is this scriptural? Well, the scriptures talk about signs. Not only signs in the heavens, but you remember early in Jesus' ministry, according to John's gospel, when he went to the wedding at Cana in Galilee, and they ran out of wine. And so they come up and they say, well, we run out of wine. And Mary says to Jesus, you know, do something. Now imagine the mindset of the servant who filled these jars with water. And Jesus says, now take it to the steward. And he picks, and he comes out, and, oh my goodness, this, I'm sure this was water, and now it's, well, maybe I, you know, I mean, again, the things that go through our mind. Sure enough, the water had been turned into wine. We say, well, that's a pretty impressive miracle. But it's more than that. In fact, John tells us it's more than that. John says this, the first of his signs. It wasn't just a miracle. Yes, it's a pretty impressive miracle. It wasn't just a miracle. This was a sign. It was the first of his signs. And so what we're saying, well then, well, what is the purpose of these signs? Whether it's in the heavens or changing water into wine or finding a wire cutter. Well, the text tells us that manifested his glory. By this sign, Jesus manifested his glory. What's he saying? I'm no ordinary person. I can change water into wine. I can create the stars that have certain, you know, cycles and so forth. And I can even make wire cutters appear. And so what did the disciples do when they saw the sign? He manifested his glory. And what was their response? They believed in him. They believed in him. This was the text it brought me to. Is this scriptural, Lord? Am I crazy? No, there's signs. They manifest his glory by these signs. If we give credit to him, that's another thing. Is this of the enemy? Certainly, if I'm giving glory to God, that's not something the enemy would want. So I believe it's scriptural. It's to give glory to God. And what does it do? It increases my faith. Now, when I saw this, I came before the Lord and I said, so what is the sign for me specifically? And he said, I just want you to know I'm with you. Now, in my thinking, forgive me, it's like, is that all? And you know, sometimes God just has silence. You know, he's just like, you know, let that sink in a little. And you're like, oh yeah, that's really amazing. That's really quite a lot to know that God is with me. A little sign, God said, I just want you to know I'm with you. There's things happening. There's some, you know, anxiety, some stuff. I just want you to know I'm with you. And he gave me the sign. And so what is my response? I give glory to God, and my faith has been increased. I believe more than I did before. Wow. Wow. And so in these times of tribulation, times things happening in the world, and we're uncertain, and we're wondering, is this all true? And you know, so much of the world seems to be doing so well without God. Well, we're going to see amazing things happening. And I believe it's not just the signs of the stars and the heavens. I believe it's also individually. We're going to see little things happen in our lives. And if we're looking for it and pay attention to it, we'll be able to say, ah, God has just given me a sign. He wants me to know that He's with me, that He's watching over me. He understands what's going on in my life. He's not forsaken me. And I give glory to Him. So my message today is, if we see this, that we would understand that God interacts with us. We have thin space. And that thin space is sometimes very thin, to the point that it's breaking in. Now, when Jesus sent the disciples out to heal people, He said, don't just heal them. He said, heal them and then make sure you tell them something. Do you remember what He told them? Make sure you tell them the kingdom of God is upon you. You see this healing, you see this power, you see these signs. What is it? The kingdom of God is upon you. And so that's our first lesson today, brothers and sisters. The kingdom of God is upon us. It's breaking in here and now. The thin space has gotten thinner. And if we look for it, we're going to see interaction of the supernatural into the natural, and we're going to see things happen that would just amaze us if we pay attention to it. And the message, the purpose is God saying, I just want you to know I'm with you. I'm still in control. I got you covered. And so we give glory to Him. And so I just offer to us today, you know, I mean, isn't that silly? A pair of wire snips? Not when it reveals the glory of God. And so I give thanks to God for this sign that He's given me, that has built my faith, that has caused me to give glory to Him. My prayer is that you also, I just, this week, I hope all of us have a sign. Something's going to happen. You're going to say, oh, so that's what Don was talking about. God's way of letting me know that He's got me covered. He's watching over me. It's going to be okay. And so we give thanks to Him. Because knowing that, we know truly the best is yet to come. No matter what happens in the world, no matter how people turn, no matter what our own doubts, or whatever, the best is really yet to come. Because God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father. Father, sometimes we're just like dumb sheep. These things are happening around us and we don't see it. And we don't give you glory. We just assume we made a mistake. And here you're trying to give us signs. I pray, Lord, that we would be attentive, that our spiritual antennas would be tuned to recognize that when some things happen in our lives, it's not just coincidence, but it's a God incidence. And so, Lord, we thank you for building our faith in these times of trouble, uncertainty, challenge. That in the midst of this, as the world is going crazy, we will have that peace which passes understanding, the shalom of God. And you will give us signs to remind us of your presence and your peace and your purpose. So, Lord God, we thank you for these signs and for He who made it all possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.